I titled the lesson this morning, Our God is a Covenant God. Everything God does with His children, He does so by way of a covenant. And that covenant, as you well know, is between Him and His Son. It actually involves the whole Trinity, but especially between the Father and the Son. And every believer here, every believer that's ever existed, never shall exist, are included in this covenant. And everything God will ever do with us will be by way of the covenant. That's between the Father and the Son. It's a covenant of grace. A covenant of grace. God is a covenant God. And because of the covenant of grace that was made between the Father and the Son, we can be assured that God will appear to us, that God will make Himself known to us. The reason this place is here now is because of this covenant. The reason you and I are here right now, and the reason we believe the gospel, is because of this covenant between the Father and the Son. And God never breaks His covenant. Brethren, that's good news. God never breaks His covenant. And when it's time for Him to appear, when it's time for God the Father to make Himself known to us, He will appear. And He will reveal Himself as He is, the Almighty God, El Shaddai. We looked at this last week, God all-sufficient. God all-sufficient. Now it says in verse 1, we covered that mostly last week, but it says He appeared to Abram as the Almighty God, that is God all-sufficient. God is sufficient in Himself. God is sufficient in His power to do as He promised. He is sufficient to keep us to the end. This is God's true character. God all sufficient. He's sufficient. Never doubt. Never doubt the sufficiency of God to save you. God is able. He is able to save unto the uttermost. And Henry used to say to the guttermost, them that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. He appeared to Abram, the one with whom He made the covenant with. God will reveal Himself to everyone that He has made a covenant with in Christ. There was a time you and I did not believe the gospel. And then there came a time we believed. You know why? Because you were involved in this covenant. Before the world began. This is something we need to really meditate upon. Before the world began, God thought upon me. God thought upon you. If you believe the gospel, God thought upon you before He ever made the world and took care of everything concerning you. Everything concerning you. And He made a covenant with His Son concerning you. As if you were the only one that existed. For God to think upon me. David said, thy thoughts to usward cannot be reckoned up in order. God commands Abram to walk before him. And he says to him, be thou perfect. God can demand no less than he is. But thank God he provides exactly what he is. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Holiness, righteousness. God has provided everything he has demanded. Everything God demands of me is provided in Jesus Christ. Everything. And I believe he's saying this when he says, walk before me and be thou perfect. He's also saying this. Walk before me in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, Abraham and Sarah got together and they were walking in the flesh. When they made this choice for Abraham to go into Hagar, that was nothing but walking in the flesh. But he said, walk before me in the spirit. Walk, turn over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, let me read some of these verses. There is therefore, in verse 1, Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then he describes them, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's their life. That's the tenor of their life. They walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They are concerned with this life. What am I going to eat, drink, and wear? It is a concern of this daily life, and they walk after the flesh, but that the righteousness of the law might be filled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And this, I believe, he's saying to Abraham, walk before me, be thou perfect, walk thou in the Spirit. Seeking Christ, seeking to follow him, seeking his will, seeking his will constantly in prayer. In our hearts, seeking the Lord's direction. Walk before me in the Spirit. Now notice here as we go along, notice as we go along to hear the in these verses, the I wills. I will. I will. It's the I wills of God. The covenant of grace is not established on if you will, I will. The covenant of grace, let me say that again, is not established on if you will, I will. You see, Adam proved that when God gave him the command not to eat of the tree, he failed. He couldn't even keep one. Israel proved they could not keep God's commands. But the covenant of grace is not based upon me keeping anything. It's not based upon me keeping anything. The first I will here has to do with Almighty God making his covenant with Abram. You notice he says, my covenant. My covenant. Not ours. It's not one that you and I sat down together and wrote this thing up. It's my covenant. My. It's the covenant of the triune God. As I said, all three are involved in this. The Father chose us, the Son redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit regenerates us. Covenant of grace now, first of all, starts with Almighty God. God all-sufficient. El Shaddai. He purposed it. It's his will to have a people. It's God's will. And this gives me great comfort. It's God's will to have me as his son. That gives me much comfort. God purposed to save me. God purposed to save you. It was not God giving us a chance to be saved, and you and I accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. That's as far away from the truth as it can get. God purposed to save me. God purposed to save you. God the Father purposed to do it. And then He established it. You know, He says over in Isaiah 42, "My servant shall not fail." He shall not fail. Over here in Psalm 89, look over in Psalm 89. In Psalm 89, let's look in verse 34. He established it. He said, "My covenant will I not break." I'll not break my covenant. I'll establish my covenant with you. "Nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." I won't change. Isn't that good? You and I change like the weather. If we go outside and it's hot, we get hot. Because we start complaining, don't we? If it's cold, we complain. We change like the weather. Get up, have a good day. Get up, have a bad day. I thank God there's one who changes not. I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His love to me never wavers. It's just as hot as ever. It never wavers. His purpose to save me, to save you, never wavers. You ever get tired of dealing with somebody? You ever get tired of dealing with somebody? They just keep messing up and you think, good night. He never gets tired of dealing with us. Never. He never gets tired of showing mercy to us. Sometimes I do. I feel like there's really an element of embarrassment. You think, great day, you've been asking for mercy all day. If the mercy of God could be wore out, I would wear it out today. And yet He never grows weary of showing mercy. The Scripture says His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Every morning they're new. And He will see it through. He purposed it. He established it, and He will see it through. Now He says here, He says to Abram, and this really applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "As for my covenant, which is between me and you." That covenant of grace is between the Father and the Son. And it'll never be broken. It'll never be broken. The Father promised. Look what he promised to Abraham is promised to Christ, really. The seed. The seed. The one who is the seed that was to come. He promised to multiply His seed exceedingly. The Scripture says that as far as the redeemed are concerned in heaven, John said, "I saw a number which no man could number." No man could number. That new heaven and new earth will be populated with the people redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to think that I'm one of them, that I'm one of them. It's amazing. It's amazing. And this covenant that God made with Abraham goes beyond his natural seed. It extends to that spiritual seed, which are born of the Spirit of God. I'll multiply thy seed exceedingly. Exceedingly. And when God revealed this covenant of grace to Abram, notice what he did in verse 3. Fell on his face. Fell on his face. Worship. Worship. Oh, I would to God that we can do that this morning. That we could realize that God would enable us as much as possible to realize that we are included in that covenant of grace and to truly fall down before Him in our hearts and worship Him. I mean to worship Him, to reverence Him, and to be like David who said, "Who am I and what is my house? Who am I and what is my house that God should bless me so?" But you'll notice here in verse 4 that God is the one doing all the speaking. Abraham's on his face. You see, it says God talked with him. Abraham, listen, Abraham's on his face and he's listening. God is doing all the speaking. And that's when we learn the most, is when we shut up. I learn the most when I shut up and listen. God is speaking. God is revealing to Abram what he's going to do. Isn't that what salvation is? Salvation is what God has done for us in Christ. That's what salvation is. It's what God has done for us. Samuel said to Israel, he said, "You go back and you tell them what great things the Lord has done for you." That's what the Lord, I believe, was that demonic. The Lord said, "You go back, you tell them. You tell them what great things the Lord's done for you." And oftentimes, we'll see it here in the next message, with those blind men. The Lord told them not to tell anybody, and you know what they did? They immediately went out and told everybody. You can't keep good news down like that. You can't do it. But God's doing the speaking. Abraham's doing the listening. And the promise is sure. The promise is sure. Look in verse 5. He says here, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you." It's sure. You know, God is the only one that can call those things which be not as though they were. He said, "I have made thee a father of many nations." That hadn't even happened yet. But God said it has. You know, as far as God's concerned, this is all done. This is all done. This is all settled. It's all done. You and I are the ones going through the experience of it. But as far as God's concerned, it's done. This is settled. And it was all done and settled before creation happened. It was. "I've made thee." "I've made thee a father of many nations." The scripture hit me this morning when I was going back over my notes. So he changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, father. Father of many nations. And the scripture hit me of Christ there in Isaiah 42:9. It says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's the name of Christ, the Everlasting Father. He said, "Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to change your name to Abraham. From Abram to Abraham. And I thought of that scripture over there where our Lord has called all these names. Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, God Almighty. Almighty God. The Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. This covenant of grace that's between the Father and the Son is so sure. It is so sure. That God says it's done. Now I can never say that. I can say I'm going to build a house. But I can't say it's done until I drive the last nail. Until I finally get the key and I can open the door and walk in and it's all finished. But when God purposed this, at the same time, He said it's done. That's how sure it is. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look in verses 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The one thing you notice about that is that's it. About all that, it's in the past tense. It's all in the past tense. God said, it's done. It's done. And he says here to Abraham in verse 6, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Fruitfulness comes through this covenant. This covenant of grace. Fruitfulness is a promise of the covenant. This is the Father speaking to His Son. I will make thee exceeding fruitful. He promised Him success. God the Father promised His Son success. God the Father promised to bless the work of His Son with fruitfulness. And all who believe, you who believe, you're that fruit. You are that fruit. Look over in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, look in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. It says, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You are his pleasure. It has pleased God to make you his people. You're his pleasure. He shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. You are his seed. You are the seed of Christ. And all who believe shall be fruitful. All who believe shall be fruitful. They shall bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's the fruit we want. That's, if there's anything I want to grow in, if there's anything you and I need to grow in, it's the fruit of the Spirit. That God would enable us. It is, listen, it's far, far, far more important that I grow in love than I grow in finances. That I grow in joy in Christ than the pleasures of this world. There's pleasure in sin for a season, but that's just for a season. And as you and I know, seasons come and seasons go. They're here a little while, then they're over. But the joy that we have in Christ is only going to grow. It's only going to grow. And he tells Abraham there in verse 6, kings shall come out of thee. You know, it's written in the Word of God that he hath made us kings and priests unto God. You are royalty. You really are. Now, that's not just a play on words here. You are royalty. He has made us kings and priests unto God. And he says in verse 7, I will establish my covenant. You see back there in verse 2, he says, I will make my covenant. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. And I will make nations of thee. And then verse 7, and I will establish my covenant. I'll establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generation for an everlasting covenant. That covenant of grace that was made between the Father and the Son concerning you and me, if we believe the gospel, is everlasting. Everlasting. This one will not be put away. The first one that was made was put away. The first one with Israel, first one revealed, was put away. This one will not be put away. It will not be put away. And I'll tell you, when you'll appreciate this, when you'll really appreciate it, when I'll really appreciate it, is when I die and I stand before God. That's when we'll really appreciate this covenant. Sin does not let us appreciate too much of anything, does it? I've learned that over the years. Sin always, as Paul said, that which I would do, I do not. That which I hate, that's what I do. That's sin. And sin does not let us worship God right now as we ought. Sin does not let us rejoice in what we are hearing and what we are reading. Even right now, sin puts a damper on it. Sin puts a dullness in it. But I thank God that covenant is between the Father and the Son. Doesn't depend on me. And I really appreciate it when I lay down. And I finally put this old clay body back in the grave. When God puts it back in the grave. I can say farewell to this life and go into God's presence. And brother, I tell you, that's when I really enjoy and appreciate the covenant of grace between the Father and the Son. That's when it'll happen. This covenant of grace was settled before the world began. It's an everlasting covenant. It has no end. It has no end. Christ fulfilled all its demands. Listen, he truly walked before God perfectly. God said to Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Jesus Christ did that. He did that. And that belongs to me. And that belongs to you. And because of this, all the promises of God are sure to every believer. And he says in verse 8, and I'll give thee and thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. I thought of this. I've never been to heaven. You've never been to heaven. I've never been there. In that sense, I would be a stranger. In that sense, I'd be a stranger. I've never been there. But I know this. We shall possess and we shall walk on a new earth. It's ours. It's ours. This possession of the new earth is everlasting. It will never be dissolved. You know, there's going to come a time. There's going to come a time when death will never be a thought. It will never, ever, ever, ever cross our minds that we have to die. You know, as you get older, you think about that. You know, as I speak with my parents, you know, every time I visit them, in every conversation, sooner or later, that comes up. There's coming a time when I never have to worry or be concerned of anybody I know dying, anyone that I love dying. And I never have to be concerned that I'm going to die someday. I never have to be concerned that all this is going to end, because that new heaven, new earth has no end. And it's as real as this one. It's real to me. It's real to me. Faith, listen, real faith gives substance to the things that you hope for. Faith gives substance to it. It's real to you. It's real to you. Now let me close here. The blessings of this covenant are established upon the righteous obedience of the Son of God. Was Christ perfectly obedient? Did he perfectly fulfill God's demands? Absolutely. It is established upon justice satisfied by the sin-atoning death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. David said this, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me, God has made with me in Christ an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation. This is all my salvation. And all my desire. The Lord allows us to enjoy some things here. But our great desire is Christ, is to be with the Lord. Although he make it not to grow. Our God is a covenant God. He will keep that covenant. That's between him and our Lord. All right.